So we're back at the live room again, and welcoming Faris and Jason Romero. Hello there.
Hi.
Yeah. The last interview we did was the 6th of February 2015.
Wow.
And so that was one memorable thing about that. We had your daughter with you, and what your sister who were looking
My sister, after? Yeah, my sister was along the road, on the road with us as a nanny, and watching our 14 or 15 month old daughter at that time. Yeah. And now, ironically, we have a 5.5-year-old and a 3-year-old with us.
Mm. And my sister.
And Jason's sister is watching them this time. So we like to keep things close in the family.
Yeah, it's good that everybody can travel with you.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
We're pretty self-contained as a band. We're lucky in that we don't have a lot of gear with us. You know, we can walk along with all of our gear. It's just two guitars and a banjo. We have a lot of stuff.
I feel like I spend most of my day just packing and unpacking the car.
Yes. Mm. Yep.
One of the things that you said last time was that you you didn't like to be away from Horsefly in May and September.
And here we are.
Here we are in May. Well, I came to the realization that everywhere, you know, is beautiful in May. Most places are beautiful in May. So I was letting go of wanting to be home, knowing that this place would be equally as beautiful as home was. So here we are.
And we've seen it. We were in Holland for 2 weeks at the start of this tour, and then came over to London, and then headed up to the Shetland Islands for the Shetland Folk Festival, and then over to the Highlands, and now sort of working our way back down here, and then Wales, and then we fly home next week. And everyone says that May is the best time here, and especially in the Scottish Highlands, everyone just said that May is that's when you want to be here. The least number of ticks, the best weather, the beautiful hiking, and we really, I don't know, like Jason said, we really realized that our home is not the only beautiful place in May. So we're trying to,
trying to experience it can be where you are.
Yeah, it's tricky because May is planting season, and so I have to go home and plant my garden like crazy when we get home. And May is a really good time for feeling the transition from winter into summer, because we kind of live for that moment when everything turns green at home.
Yeah, we have 2 feet of snow, you know, from November to mid-April, so when it's gone, you have so many things you want to do and take care of outside.
Yeah.
So we left right then. So
I'm
looking forward to getting back and doing all those things.
So apart from having a son, you've also had a fire, which I think was that destroyed your workshop.
It burned very efficiently all the way to the ground. Yeah.
Yeah. So that must have set you back a lot.
It did. We were building a house that summer, which was planned, so we had ripped away our small little cabin and were building this huge house, and had plans for all these friends and family to come help us build this house all summer, and we had a new child and took time off of touring, and then a quarter way into building the house, the shop burned down. So then our summer turned into a much more stressful situation. So we had to finish the house because winter's coming, and we had to also build a shop.
How far apart were those two?
Spatial-wise, they're 50 feet apart.
And we were sleeping in a small movable cabin that we had built on skids to be able to move around. That was our house while we were building our house. And so we were sleeping in that small cabin right beside the shop when it caught on fire.
It was very moving to read on your website about the support you received.
That was an overwhelming feeling that we had coming out of it. Massive amounts of stress, but you don't really notice how much stress you're under because you just sort of put your head down and move forward, because that's what you have to do. You can't sit there and sort of fall apart. We sort of did fall apart a couple times, but that just comes with the territory, I think. But I would never wish that on anyone, the experience, but I would wish for everyone to have an experience that brings people who have got your back like that together. And you know, a lot of people had our back, and that was a really moving experience. And the music community, the luthiery community, the small town community, the arts community, just all these people from all around the world, and so many of them we have never met, and people just supported us.
I felt very taken care of.
Very, very taken care of. And so I wish for people to have that experience in their life, to realize that, people really do care. Because I think a lot of people feel like a lot of people feel lonely or isolated in these little pockets a lot of the time. And it's easy to feel that way because just because of how we communicate now. I think we were blown away by how connected we felt to so many people around the world.
And when you had time to draw breath, I gather the Sweet Old Religion.
That's right.
Almost wrote itself.
Yes, it just blew out.
It did that winter. Once we were, I had my new shop and I was working again, and we were in our new house, and the stress was melting away. Yeah, the songs were just coming out of her.
They were.
And was that a conscious decision that it would be then all your own work, because the work was just rolling, the songs were writing
rolling
out of you?
No, we knew that the next record that we wanted to put out, we knew we wanted to do it all original stuff, because the amount of writing that I've been doing, and Jason too, like we just write more and more and more all the time. It's like any other muscle exercise. The more you do it, the better you get at it, and the more you want to, and the more ideas are coming out all the time. So we just had so many songs. Usually it's we just have less songs, and we have, you know, public domain ones or things that we've fallen in love with, and so we want to include those ones. But
I think we wanted to consciously, like, because we'd always, I always really wanted to show where our roots were. Like, we've spent a lot of time listening, so this is why we play these old songs that we're digging up, and we write songs. And this, I think we really wanted to, I wanted to highlight Ferris's amazing songwriting on this one. So I felt like we paid our dues on doing traditional covers. So it's time to just.
Well, yours will become traditional.
That would be nice. We have a lot of people from around the world sending us covers that they're doing of our songs.
Yeah.
You know, one,
it still blows
it's really
away.
Really neat. A number of songs, and one in particular that Jason wrote, a banjo tune that Jason wrote. We have, you know, Japanese bands sending us their versions of that song, and just people from Greece sending us their versions of that song. It's the neatest feeling when someone likes something that you've written enough that they want to learn it. Have choirs covering our music, and just it's really cool.
Is there a connection with the teaching you do as well? Do you use your own songs?
No.
At all?
No, not at all. I almost never teach my own songs. Maybe I know some teachers who do, but I think I'm more interested in when I'm teaching, and I think Jason probably too, that so much of where my own musicality comes from is from the years spent listening to traditional music, and that was what tuned my ears into what I wanted to hear in the own music that I do, because I am drawn to that music. That's just where my heart and my musical ears go, and so I want to help my students establish for them where their musical ears want to sit, because I think it's really important that, like, it's important to recognize that all of the early players, Bill Monroe's, the Riley Puckett's, the Flatten Scruggs, they were all innovators in their time, but they had spent years playing these traditional styles of music and incorporating so many different influences from all over the place. They weren't just listening to one style and then copying it. They weren't, you know, they were innovators, but they had it in their heart. They had the feeling of the music in their heart. And I think that we need to, like, surround ourselves by that music and really have it embedded in our bodies more. And so that's what I like to be able to do with my students, is really give them a sense of, like, what's the music that I want embedded in my body before I'm writing. And that's not everyone's approach, but that's mine.
That's a good example to share. When you're doing the voice works sessions or the banjo teaching, are they entirely groups, or are there some one-to-one work as well? How do you?
A little bit of both.
Yeah,
we both teach full classes, but then I'll often will be asked to do a one-on-one with folks, and we'll go do
those
too.
And do people come to you in Horsefly, or do you go out?
Yes, people do come to us in Horsefly. We're limited because we're away so much, so we can't keep a regular teaching schedule or anything like that, but we do lots of one-offs with people. And I think for adult learners especially, one-offs are often very effective, because it's kind of up to the adult to set their own teaching and or their own practice schedule. And adults aren't nearly as good at setting their own practice schedule as they are at setting practice schedules for little kids. So little kids get like, no, you must practice every day. But a lot of adults are like, I'll practice when I feel like it. So we just sort of have a lot of adults just coming in whenever they're ready for a lesson.
We had a performer here recently who astonished us by saying that he had actually, on his tour, carved out a day when he could meet some other musicians and sit and write. I thought, what an amazing and refreshing thing to be able to do.
I felt like that in Shetland.
We did.
We wanted to, like, sit with the Shetland fiddlers and, like, learn, like, what makes their fiddle tunes so unique. And we didn't have enough time with it.
But
when
we made some time for it. Some time, but not
enough.
Because
it's like, it's...
But we've been writing on this tour. I feel like there's a lot of sounds have been coming in that have been really interesting and really inspiring, and so we've been writing a lot of sounds in the middle of sound checks and everything too.
Yeah. If you can, isn't it?
Yeah. don't stop it if it happens.
Wherever it comes from.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're looking forward to tonight.
Thank you very much indeed.
It's been a while, and so much has happened. Really.
Yeah, I feel so much has happened. People always say with little kids that, like, don't blink because the time flies by. And I feel like the time has flown by because that's what time does, but it not in a way that it feels like we haven't made a lot with it. I feel like there's been so much has happened in the since we were last year.
And yeah, still remember it. Yeah. Clear as day, though.
Yep. Yeah, the little story on the in the booklet in the CD about the lion.
My brother
did you
wrote
thump
that.
The lion then?
I've tried to thump the lion. Yeah, I mean I did. I threw a piece of firewood at it. It came up for our dog in the middle of the night, and it just played with it like it was a cat toy.
That was the second cougar.
That was the second cougar on
our porch.
Yeah, we've lost three dogs. Two to cougars we know, and one the other one we don't.
Mysteriously.
Know. Yeah.
Yep.
It's part of that country there. There's a lot of a lot of the top predators are there.
Yeah, keep your eyes open.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
You do, yeah.
But equally time for exercise and meditation. I have to thank you for the salt and powder. It doesn't often happen, but I was watching that, and as you began that, I wrote down on the paper my kind of meditation. Thank you for that.
But yeah, you got some bluegrass playing in the background, and just it made us laugh because one of our ongoing jokes is that Jason's always thinking about banjos, so he, no matter what. So we thought, you know, how do we put that into an interpretation where he's playing banjo in totally inappropriate places. So, you know, whether it's meditating or yoga or, you know, aerobics classes. And yeah, it was pretty darn fun.
Bird watching.
Bird watching. Yes. Gardening. Yeah.
That was a funny one.
That was a lot of fun to make.
We're trying to just laugh at it. I was trying to laugh at ourselves. Yeah.
I did wonder about the T-shirt you were wearing there that had the photographs of the women, Hazel and Alice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Alice gave me that shirt, so... Oh. That is a vintage Hazel and Alice shirt.
That was really striking.
It was given to me that I just cherish.
We made a point of wearing, he wore hats and shirts from all of our friends and from festivals and camps that we love through the whole thing. That was,
And I trust the bathtub was your house?
That was our house.
That was our house.
I was wearing clothes down underneath it,
yes,
but
that did become visible.
I tried not to, but you know, there's only so many filming angles. Our bathroom's tiny, so the cameraman had
just
a hard time.
No one can be scandalized.
That's fine. I don't mind. I'm not shy.
Really, really fun.
Cool.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We look forward
you're
to
welcome. Thank you
tonight, and hope you don't. What is it? 4 years? Yeah. Have to be back earlier than that next time.
We'd like to. We're trying to figure out how to. And it's tricky when you're on the road not that often and you want to do everything. You do come, you know. So trying to grab a few of our favorites.
So we wait until we really want to go, and we just say yes to, and we go.
But we do love it here. It's such a nice room, and the sound's always so great. And just the feeling in the room. I remember that as soon as we got in the room. I remember that feeling of how good it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Cheers.
Nice to see you both again.